Blog Talk Radio.
Dallas, Texas. I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015, or better known as National Earth Day here in the United States. And here to join me, as always, the very down-to-earth Jeff Rivers.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Doing well. And you are aware of Earth Day, right, Jeff?
Absolutely.
The annual day is held to demonstrate support for environmental protection. And
do we need that?
Very much so. And you can find out more about that at www.earthday.org. And speaking of Earth, we have a special guest tonight, and seems to be doing well in different spots around the Earth. And joining us, someone near and dear to my heart, BMI recording artist Martone. How are you, Martone?
Hey, Chad. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. It's been excellent.
Oh,
it's so good to we have it. Seems like old times. It's just, and for our newer listeners, Martone actually produced and was the co-host of the first season of The Chad Report. And so for some of our older listeners, this is a treat, I'm sure, you know.
Absolutely.
And, yes.
I'll be back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. And,
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Nice to have the pioneer on here.
And I've always said the thing I like about you, Martone, is when you get something in your head, you get an idea, you make it happen. You know, a lot of times people will think, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, but they never really follow through with it.
Right.
Martone is someone who always follows through with what he wants to do.
Exactly. I respect that a lot about you, Martone. That's awesome. You know, you seem to find a way to get your dreams accomplished. It's excellent.
And
Martone, I know you recently celebrated. Say that again.
I said thank you for the compliment.
Oh,
you're welcome. Yeah.
And Martone, I know you recently celebrated 27 years in the business. Oh, he thinks I'm making an age crack. I'm not. He started when he was two. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
No, I just wanted.
Right.
You're just wrong.
400-year-old vampire.
We used to go back and forth on the age. He'd always be like, "Why?" You know, my joke was he always claimed he remembered nothing before Belle Biv DeVoe.
Right.
And no, that was not an age crack. That was actually a compliment, Martone. I wanted you, just for the listeners, to kind of take us back to 1988, when that started, and kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, give us in a nutshell how you got to where you are now.
Okay. Well,
give us that journey.
I originally started off hosting a music video show. I always wanted to be like Johnny Simpson, you know, with video soul. So I came up with a program called Video Control. And it was a class that was being offered down at our local cable station. It was Continental Cable at the time, and they had producers class. So my cousin and I, we took the class. I think it lasted about 8 weeks. And then we received a producer's certificate, and then I went on to host the show, for about 13 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
And you had some high-profile interviews during that 13 years, too.
Yeah, we did. Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature, Will Smith. And
wow.
Yeah, just to name a few.
Vanilla
Ice
was one as well.
Yeah,
too, right?
Definitely. Oh my God! Yes, he was so cool. It was really cool to meet him. Really down to earth.
Will Smith—that has to be.
Did
you have any idea at the time Will Smith would go on to be the highest-paid actor in Hollywood? I mean, you know. That's incredible.
No, I mean, I really didn't. But, you know, when you looked at him and you met him, you really felt that there was something special about him.
Mm-hmm.
He was...
Yeah, that it factor.
Yeah, he did. And he was so cool. He was so nice to me and my crew at that time. And I just remember it was at the beginning of the Fresh Prince that they had already had filmed, but it hadn't aired yet at that time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great lineup. That is excellent.
Yeah, that's great.
Actually, at the they just had at the Dallas Mavericks final home game, they had Naughty by Nature as the halftime performance. It was kind of like a fan appreciation night. Yes. And I was like, wow.
I'm sorry.
And, right. Me too, because I didn't have tickets to that game. Yeah, that was one that I would love to have gone to. You mentioned Queen Latifah as well, who's gone on to do very well as an actress, and also recently had a talk show host that unfortunately got canceled, and I actually thought it was a pretty good, you know, and we've seen some big stars go in that genre and just not do well sometimes. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
What did you think about that, Martone, about Queen Latifah? Did you watch her show? Did you?
Yeah, I did. Actually, my aunt was trying to get me to write a letter to her, or she was going to write one herself about, you know, about how we met and stuff back in the day, and that, you know, it would be a nice full circle moment for the both
absolutely.
Of us. Actually,
and I was actually
again.
Shocked. When they announced that her show was canceled, because I thought she did a really good job, and it seemed like she had some great guests over the period. And but you know, we've seen, like I said, we've seen other people. That's not for everybody, you know. And
well, maybe she wasn't salacious enough. I don't know.
Maybe so. You know, especially in 2015, and that absolutely
right.
Means something.
Mm-hmm.
So after Video Control. You went into,
yeah,
is this when you went to school, this is when you went to broadcasting school, is that correct?
Well, actually, I took a little break. I started modeling after then,
after
Video Control. I did that for a few years. And then, you know, television was pulling me back, so ended up going to school, I started in 2006, graduated in 2007, and that was really tough because we were in class 5 nights a week, 4 hours a day, and I ended up getting a diploma in broadcasting for television.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and so after that, it was just like, well, I tried starting my own business. I incorporated Trim Entertainment and tried to do, because I was in photography as well at that time, to try to blend those both together, photography and television, since I felt like I had that eye for that. But unfortunately, that didn't work out so well.
Well, you just, you know, they call people triple threats. I don't know what to call you, a quintuple threat? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, next thing, so after that, then it became, and like you said, you started InnoTram Entertainment, and then started Industry Review in the Mix, and you started that in what year, Martone?
Oh, I believe that was 2009. I think it was 2009 because we had just moved here to Texas, and you know, again, of course, you start to get that itch, and then you know, my partner Clayton had brought up, well, why don't you do radio? I don't know if I want to do that. And so I did, and, you know, all of a sudden I started booking these guests one after another, and the show had a huge popularity.
Yes, it was a great show, and fortunately for me, in 2011, you booked me as a guest on that show, and that changed my life, and I will always be very grateful
That's
to you
awesome.
For that.
Like I said, the pioneer, you know.
You're welcome.
Yes.
You know, and then, gosh, what was it? Because it was I always used to call you the pop culture guru.
Yes, you did in the very beginning. That's right. I remember. I remember us talking about like on the very first show. Do you remember when they brought Charlie's Angels back? It was as a series, not the movie, but as a TV series.
Right.
And you were like, this isn't going to last till the water gets, and it didn't. It was canceled, I think, after a few episodes. There was no Farrah Fawcett on there. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
My, how things have changed. Yes. And at that, if I remember correctly, too, that was when the whole talk shakeup occurred, Martone, on that episode. This was in 2011, and the first time I was ever on Industry Review in the Mix. We talked about, because before it was Leah Remini and, what's the lady's name, married to the football player? Holly Robinson Pete.
Okay.
Remember when,
were
originally?
I do.
Yes,
I
and then they got.
Mentioning that.
Yes, because they got the boot because Julie Chen was not, she kind of laid down the law, and, you know, her husband is the president of CBS, so that was interesting. So, the first time, and it was long after that you offered me the Chad report, and you know, I was so used to working with Martone, I was like, well, I can't do this by myself. I need somebody to bounce off of, a la Regis and Kathy Lee, or Regis, you know, and Kelly's, whatever. And so, I continued working on Industry Review in the Mix with Martone, and he was the co-host for the Chad report, and it was just great. We had a lot of fun, and, you know, we did radio interviews. We also did web interviews. We went and interviewed Takiya Crystal Kima. Right.
Yeah.
Jeff was with us there.
Yes. Have you gotten stuck in any more elevators, Martone?
Oh, no. You know what? After that, that is my fear now, because every time when I'm at work and everything, because we have this one elevator that likes to, you know, like when you're on a roller coaster and you hear the chain link, click. We have one of those elevators at work that does that. So, you know, I'm kind of leery about. I'm like, I'm taking the stairs.
And just
that was a great experience, though. You know, getting to meet Takiya Crystal Kima.
She was phenomenal. And just to let the listeners, go ahead, Marta.
No, I was just saying that we still keep in contact from time to time. She'll send emails, or she sent me something after she came on the show, a card, a thank you card with some little crystals in there, and I thought that was, was so cool.
She was very cool, very approachable, very sweet. That interview went so well. We were very, you know, Marta and I were nervous at first, but we got very comfortable once it started, just because she was so, you know, that's
so
just the way she made us feel. And we'd seen us, just to let the listeners know, we'd went to see her show the night before, and it was at the Dallas County Convention Center, and we got in an elevator, which was really, we were going up, what, one or two floors? It wasn't that big of a deal. The elevator was packed, and so we were just, everybody was standing forward, and it stopped in between floors. And if I remember correctly, Jeff turned into the Incredible Hulk there and pulled
those. I remember that, like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Pulled the doors open, and we're greeted by this concrete wall, but we can see down. You could kind of see a little bit of down.
Right, above floors.
And then Martone always liked to bring up the we call the emergency phone. We use the emergency phone, and the lady on the other end was a little catty, I guess, Martone, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yes, she was.
And Martone's like, this is no time for jokes.
Right.
No, that was...
Goodness.
I hope that never happens again, Martone. That was a one time.
Right.
I'm like, you always had that fear, and it never happened. And then, boom, it happened. But yeah, that was a great experience.
Were you there about an hour?
Well, it was about an hour. Yeah, it seemed longer than that. The Dallas, the fire department, they were great once they got there. They were very, you know, calm. You know, we're going to get you out as quickly as possible. And they were much more soothing than the operator. Let's put it that way. So
that's the truth.
So we made it to the show. We were a little bit late, but we saw most of it, though. And so everything turned out great. It was a great night. All right, I want to talk more about what everything that's going on, Martone. But before that, I want to take a break, and I want to Martone has an album that's coming out soon called The Evolution of Martone, and this is the first single from that album, and it's called Love You, I Do.
I love you.
from the evolution of Martone, his first single,
yeah.
Love You I Do. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Outstanding. I
Good
love
job,
it.
Martone.
Thank
That's
you.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
So catchy. So catchy. Yeah. As soon as I heard it, you know, I started.
Yeah, I liked it immediately.
I had to call Martone and sing it back to him, you know. So
yeah,
I was just
oh,
like.
My God, yeah. I was cracking up. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, you know, if you're doing that, I hope everybody else will.
You know what? It's so catchy, really. And the hook on that is excellent. So which brings me to my next question, Martone. Songwriting is not, you know, I was a nightclub singer before, and I like singing,
mm-hmm.
but songwriting is not something that I've never really, you know, gotten into. How does that come about? Does it just flow right out of you? Is it from personal experience, or do you just kind of, is it like writing a book? Do you get a story in your head? I mean, explain that to us, if you would, please.
Well, some of it is from personal experience. I've been writing since I was a kid. I always wrote. I think that's something that I got from my mom. I would write about, mm-hmm. you know, situations I was going through, or if I had a crush on a guy, I would write my feelings down on paper, but never, you know, share that with them. Never.
Mm-hmm.
But my best friend, you know, he keeps a copy of all my poems, which is it's a trip, so... Go ahead. Did I hear something?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, that's just excellent. Wow, you wrote that, too. That's great, Martone. You really have some good talent to be able to write that, too. That's, you know, a lot of people sing, but they don't write, too, you know. So that even, you know, makes
you
even more talented. That's excellent.
It is excellent.
You know, I came up with that chorus, like, 2 months before I actually recorded the song, but then it came time to go to the studio to record it, so I like wrote it on my way on the way to the studio.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I remember you told me you had the chorus in your mind. It was just getting the verses. That was the last thing you did,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Well, I love the verses. So you did a great job. So just
Thank
on the
you.
Spot there. Under pressure, and you got it done. Very nice.
Right.
Wow.
You know, if anybody knows me well, they know I don't like to work under pressure.
No, and I worked with you long enough to know that. And yeah, because when we did the show, we did back-to-back shows, the Chet Report and then Industry Review and the Mix would follow. And this was at 9 a.m. Central, so it was 7 a.m. on the West Coast. And a lot of times we would interview people. I remember Kate Linder, who plays Esther, who's been on The Young and the Restless, was Miss Chancellor's maid on The Young and the Restless, and she's been on there for, oh, wow. Well, I don't, Martone wasn't
it
since like the
like
early 80s.
Years now, right?
Yes, yes.
Because it was 30 years at the time that we interviewed her, so, well, 33
right.
years now. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I just remember that morning because when we called, we heard her husband answer the phone. Keep in mind it's 7 a.m. out. And in California, 7 a.m. is much earlier than it is in the Midwest
right.
or the South. These people don't get up, okay? You know, at that time.
Right.
And she was like, hey, is it? And we were like going, oh, no, this is not going to go well. You know? And then she ends up being a great, I mean, she took up the whole hour. But we thought we were going to get 15, 20
right.
minutes. And this lady was ready to talk. And it was actually a great
right.
interview. And she was very forthcoming about everything, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
When we started talking about, because you know how they were talking about a few years ago that, you know, soap operas are leaving the air. She was like, Young and the Restless is not leaving.
Right. And so
she's
far,
very
she's
passionate
not.
About that.
She was, and there's only four left. So, and Young and the Restless continues to be the highest rated. So, yeah, and it's almost like family. If you've ever watched the Young and the Restless or any soap opera, but I, you know, particularly
right.
the Young and the Restless, I know Martone, you can relate to that too. Victor and Nikki are like it's almost like an aunt and an uncle. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can tune in. I could not watch it for a while, then tune back in, and it's like I didn't miss anything, you know. So
right,
yeah.
But now I've, right. I, you know, because I recently caught bits and pieces here, like on days that I would go to the studio to record something, and I was like, well, who are these new faces? I don't. Yeah, and then didn't they like kill off somebody else, or then they replaced Adam Newman with somebody? So
yes, like, because I tuned in one day not too long ago because I haven't been watching recently. I have to confess, and I was like, who are these people? And then the scene changed after a bit. And then I was like, oh, okay, here's like my old friends, Lauren and the bunch. Yes. And they grow up so fast, don't they?
Yes, they do. I'm like,
you know, they're like
6 months old.
But I remember Victoria was like 5 one time, and I stopped watching for a couple of years, and I turned, and then she's 20. You know,
right?
So I was like, okay, so yeah, interesting though. It's a great, great show. And she was a great interview, just one of the fun interviews we had. Definitely. Okay, that evolution of Martone, you are planning on filming videos this summer for these upcoming, and are you excited about that? Have you got, and you'll be working, as I understand, with people who worked with Michael and Janet Jackson, correct?
Yes, oh my God, and his name is Jimmy Locus. He's the choreographer, and he is super pumped about, you know, about putting together the pieces, and he told me that Groot can actually be your first single. That's your money maker right there. That's where you should go.
Huh.
I was like,
wow.
I was like,
and again, Groot Tonight is a great song too. It's a little more, it's more house, more dance. It's a different type of song than Love You I Do. Love You I Do is, well, it's similar, but it's more popish, wouldn't you say, Martone?
Right, but you know, it encompasses all different genres of music that I like. So
it really does.
So I tell people, you know, whatever it means to you, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Groove Tonight, that is actually, Love You I Do is the first single, but Groove Tonight has been released and is actually doing well in the Great Britain right now on the charts. So why don't we pull this one up and let's listen to that, and we'll talk about that, Martone, okay? This is Martone and Groove Tonight.
That's right.
Hey. Tonight. I'm walking in the club, about to get my vibe. Oh, I need to groove tonight. I'm walking in the club, about to get my vibe. All eyes on me tonight. Did you ever see someone that gets fly as me? Let's groove.
Let's groove tonight.
Climbing up the charts in Great Britain, Martone and Groove Tonight. Very nice, Martone.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And what is it about? It seems like the European countries are more, they like dance style club music more. Do you agree with that, Martone? It seems like those do better in the European countries typically than the United States.
I believe so. I was told not too long ago that definitely that's where the money is made when it comes to performing and touring for electronic dance music artists.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just I look forward to that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, because sometimes they'll run down, you know, Great Britain's top 10 or even Germany, Italy, and I'm thinking, I actually like those songs better than what's in the top 10 here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but anyway, you know, different.
What is it? You know, a little bit. They're a little bit more progressive when it comes to different styles of music.
They really are, and they're also that they you can still get airplay if you're over 30 in those countries too.
Right.
They don't. You know what I mean? The legendary artists seem to still do well in those countries when they have a hit on their hands. Whereas in this country, it's hard for them to get airplay. I don't care how good the song
is.
I mean, you know. So.
Right. Definitely.
Martin, I want to bring up something. You sent out an email to all of your fans, and I just wanted to read a part of that and ask you about it. You said in this,
right.
You said, I have to testify. I know that God has definitely been a force and a blessing in my life, mainly because I recently had a setback, and it didn't stop the blessings from flowing. It just let me know that things happen for a reason. The true blessing is that the people that signed up to be a part of my success are still with me. And that is wonderful, Martone. And I wanted to ask you, is there a time that obviously faith plays a big part in your life? And was there a time that you ever turned away from that and it seemed like, you know, you noticed a difference? Or have you always just maintained that?
Well, you know, of course, you know, people question, well, why does this happen? Why does that happen? And then, you know, the thing is, you know, because I talk to my grandmother every week and she always says, well, make sure you stay prayed up. And so, you know, that is something that has been ingrained in me ever since I was a young kid. So definitely when times get rough, you just have to look to God and keep moving forward. And in the meantime, thank Him because He is definitely working on it.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great way to think. Jeff, did you have something?
I said, you bet. That's excellent advice. You know.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Mark. You know, I just kind of wrap things up, Martin. And I do want to say that we have another single that we will close the show with, and that's
okay.
called This Love. So definitely stay with us for that. But, Martin, before I let you go, I want to ask your famous question. I learned from you, actually, and working with you. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to break into the music business? What would you say to them?
Well, definitely study everything that you can in terms about your craft. Figure out what type of artist that you want to be, whether it's a dancer or you just want to be a balladeer or a jazz singer or a rapper. Just make sure that you study. Make sure that your work is up to par when you present it to people. Make sure that you always follow your heart when it comes to doing what it is that you want to do, and don't let anyone tell you no. never.
Right,
excellent advice.
Absolutely. Wow. And you are a prime example of someone who is you practice what you preach, Martone, and that's very
right.
evident. So outstanding. It's been a joy to have you on, Martone. It's been so fun. And please come back soon and keep us let us know what's going on and with everything. Would you please? We'd love to have you again.
I will certainly do that. You know that you
awesome.
Guys hold a very special place in my heart. So anytime you want me to come back, I will.
That's great.
Thank you. And the same for you, my friend. Definitely. Appreciate you so much coming on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
Yeah. Thank you, Martone.
Uh-huh. All right. Great, great guy. I love Martone. He's always been just a good near and dear friend to me. And, the Chat Report was a spinoff of Industry Review in the Mix. So, special place in my heart. All right, we've got some news to get to. They're taking to the streets in Baltimore right now as we speak, so we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, on this day in 1981, the largest bank robbery in U.S. history occurred in Tucson, Arizona, as thieves made off with more than $3.3 million. At the movies, Caveman, an American slapstick comedy film starring Ringo Starr and Dennis Quaid, was in its first of two straight weeks at the top of the box office, and the number one song in the land was this.
I don't feel the need to give up.
Number one on this day in 1981, Daryl Hall and John Oates and Kiss on My List. Number one for 3 weeks and their 10th top 40 hits.
Awesome. I love that song. Awesome.
Isn't that great? What a great pickup line, too. Your kiss is on my list.
Exactly.
Today you might get slapped if you said that. But back in 1981, that was a great line. Okay?
Exactly.
So, that was actually their second biggest hit, only behind Maneater. Maneater was their biggest hit by 1 week only, and Kiss on My List next, and went gold. This is one of those, Daryl, and you know, the most successful duo in history is Daryl and John Oates. And there's not a song they sing that I really don't like. And there's usually, even in some of my favorite stars, and they're definitely up there, they usually have one song or two you're like, I don't like this one. Looking at what they've done, they do no wrong. Anyway, great stuff from Hall & Oates. All right. An attorney for the officers involved in the arrest of Baltimore resident Freddie Gray said police did not need probable cause to arrest him. Quote, there is a Supreme Court case that states that if you are in a high crime area and you flee from the police unprovoked, the police have the legal ability to pursue you, and that's what they did, said Michael Davey, the lawyer. In this type of an incident, you do not need probable cause to arrest. You just need a reasonable suspicion to make the stop. Davey also said he does not believe Gray was wearing a seatbelt inside the van he was placed in after his arrest. Our position is something happened in that van. We just don't know what, the attorney told reporters.
Huh.
And I have a real problem with that
there.
I have a problem with the fact, who determines where does a high crime area stop and start?
Exactly. And how are you as the public supposed to know that necessarily?
And so if somebody's out and say you're running or jogging and you cross that barrier in a high crime area, the police can just come after you. I mean, the whole idea is to protect and serve. And again, I want to go back and say that I believe most officers follow that. This is not something, but I would say that there's several percent that do not, and these people are the ones that have really shown themselves lately, and it's bringing everybody down, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Five of the six officers suspended with pay after their parts in arresting Freddie Gray have provided statements to investigators, according to the Baltimore Police Department. The department will not release the personnel records or photos because doing so would violate the law, the police said. But again, more videos came out today, Jeff. You saw them with me of this, and they were terrible. I mean, really, this guy was in agony. And
exactly.
You know, the whole idea is the thing that kills me about their attorney saying the line, our position is something happened in that van. We just don't know what. That's bothersome. And also,
right.
He said that he does not believe he was wearing a seatbelt inside the van he was placed in after his arrest. Well, you know what? You need to become aware of it, first off. And
exactly.
This man was injured severely.
A 20-something-year-old man does not break his spine for no reason. You know, there's something happened in that van, or, you know, I heard one report that stated that one of the officer's knees was on the guy's neck. And so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. You know, I don't know, but it smells.
Oh, it's terrible. And as I said, the crowds are, you know, protesting tonight as they did last night, and they're just getting more and more, which, you know, at some point, you know, you can do, you know, they're human beings. And we just keep seeing this over and over and over from last year and carrying into this year. And it's just, it's something that has to stop. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And
it's going to stop with body cameras. We need to have body cameras, you know, just, you know, there's so many things that reinforce that every day. It seems like something else is coming out. And if they had body cameras, it would protect the officers and the public.
Absolutely, I agree, and hopefully that becomes. I'd like to see that become a federal law, actually.
Absolutely,
and not some. You know, when they say, "Oh, well, state by state," nah, to hell with that. I think every.
When they have things like that, then people's constitutional rights, like that lady that was videotaping the marshal,
the U.S. marshal, who stomped on her, grabbed her phone, stomped on it, broke it, and didn't realize that someone else was recording that happening with
exactly.
their phone. So,
exactly.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
And so you just don't violate somebody's constitutional right. Whereas if you have body cameras on everybody federally, what's the difference of having another camera on you? You already have one.
Right, and I think it protects the officer as well as it protects
as well as it protects
citizens from rogue officers. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Jeff, so
exactly, you're on your best behavior and you're following the book when you're being watched.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of being watched, McDonald's is being watched, Jeff, and they are even in even worse shape than we realized. Profits are crumbling, sales are shrinking, and guest traffic is declining all around the world. Consumers are defecting for healthier and fresher options like Chipotle, the burrito chain that McDonald's sold off almost a decade ago, wishing they had that back.
Yeah.
The world's largest burger chain announced more depressing results today for the first 3 months of 2015. The company vows a turnaround plan is coming. It will reveal the initial details on May 4th. In a preview of what might be coming, McDonald's just announced that it's closing 350 struggling restaurants,
mostly
in Japan, the United States, and China. Just how bad is it at McDonald's? First quarter profits tumbled by nearly $400 million, or roughly a third. And that's a steeper pace of profit declines than all of last year. And you know, Jeff, they changed their CEO in late January, and they're just really on the they're on the skids right now, and
right.
What do you think? Do you understand? And for if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that Jeff and I are fast food connoisseurs.
exactly. If anybody is, we are.
Absolutely. and we've complained. There's always going to be things I love. There's times when a Big Mac sounds like the most delicious thing I could possibly get my hands on. You know, I'll be honest.
Right.
And then what do you think is what's going on here? Do you think it's the healthier because we're not seeing the same thing with Wendy's and some of the other fast food.
Well, for one thing, it's menu selection. I think it's a multifactorial thing. I think, and you know, just so the listeners may that those that don't know, I used to manage a McDonald's, you know, years ago when I was going through college. And
speaking of the 1980s, right?
And 90s.
Correct. And 90s. Right. Right.
But their menu, needs to be broader, and it needs to have, like you said, more healthy choices. They need to get back to better customer service, also having a faster drive-through. You know, their drive-through has slowed down over the years, and that face-to-face service, you know, that's good. But when you're doing fast food, you need to do it on the speaker, and then, you know, have a friendly smile when you go up to that first window and greet your customer and let them know that you're glad they're there.
Absolutely.
And not just ask for the money right offhand. And,
right.
And thank them and wish them, you know, ask them to come back.
Thank you, and come again. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Old-fashioned customer service. Customer's always right. So, broader menu selection and a healthier selection is definitely part of that. And they've got to find a way to do that and still have value.
And I certainly hope they can because, I remember as a kid and, hell, even as an adult, seeing the Golden Arches is a treat, especially if you're out traveling and you want, you know, you see that the Golden Arches are like, pull in. You know what I'm saying? I would hate to see McDonald's, I hate seeing them in this shape, and I hope that they can turn things around and this new CEO can, because that's a huge loss in the first quarter. That was shocking when I saw that. So.
Yeah, that's terrible.
The man who attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan in 1981 will be back in a Washington courtroom for hearings on whether he should spend more time outside a mental hospital that has been his home for decades. John Hinckley Jr. is allowed to spend 17 days a month at his mother's home in Virginia. Hearings that began today and are expected to last several days will determine whether Hinckley gets more time there. Hinckley has lived at St. Elizabeth's, a Washington mental hospital, ever since a jury found him not guilty by reason of insanity in the shooting. In 2003, a judge ruled Hinckley could have day visits with his parents outside the hospital, and since then he has been granted increasing amounts of time outside the hospital. And 17 days a month, that's pretty good. And the whole idea, he shot the president, which is never good, and of course, obviously. President Reagan didn't die, thank God, whether you're Republican or Democrat. No one wants to see the president, or anyone die. And And the jury did find him, he had all the – remember, he was obsessed with Jodie Foster and all this. This man had mental issues, and I think they made the right decision. He was not – and the whole idea of going to a mental hospital is to get you – rehabilitate you and make you better.
Exactly.
And the fact that no one was murdered or no one died, do you think does that give him a little more leeway as opposed to, because I think when somebody gets murdered, when you take a life and you go to, and you're found insane, I think you should go into the mental hospital for the rest of your life. Because
right. Well,
is responsible
it's the
that.
Difference between attempted murder versus murder.
Correct.
And
correct.
And so the sentence should be lighter, you know. But you know, you got to make sure the person's well, of course.
I agree, and you know, it's amazing to see, you know, that's such an old story, and to see this still coming up, you know, every few years, you know, this comes up about whether he should get more time, and I didn't realize he was already getting 17 days. That's quite a bit out of a month
right.
to go. It's been, I knew he was getting the day visits and everything, but wow. So, but yeah, if they determine that he's healthy enough to do that after all these years, and he, you know, he served and not caused any problems, I you know, I guess that's okay.
Right. Well, that's part of the rehabilitation system, you know, is that they get rehabilitated,
right.
and hopefully won't have a, you know, recidivism rate, you
absolutely.
Know, that especially with something like that.
I agree. And finally, Robert Borwein's path to fatherhood was unconventional, but Virginia's appeals court said Tuesday he is legally entitled to be a part of his son's life. Borwein's friend, Joyce Bruce, had used his sperm in a turkey baster to get pregnant. She thought after she learned she was with child that they should just be friends. She also thought that because they never had sex, she was entitled to be the boy's sole parent, according to court documents. The Court of Appeals of Virginia decided differently in weighing the Commonwealth's assisted conception statute and denying her appeal to deny Borwein visitation. It agreed with a circuit court ruling that that method of insemination did not come from medical technology. Quote, the plain meaning of the term medical technology does not encompass a kitchen implement such as a turkey baster, the appeals court wrote in its decision. Don't you make me laugh. Ms. Bruce's attorney, Monica T. Munday, said that she would need to talk to her client before she can comment about whether they will file an appeal. And what happened, Jeff, was basically he was hesitant when she approached him in 2010 with the turkey baster idea. And I've heard this before. I did not think this was possible, I'll be
right.
honest with you. They talked about writing their agreement down on paper, but that never happened. They tried the turkey baster method several times. He'd come over to her house, go to her room alone, bring his sperm back in a plastic cup. They'd chat, and he'd leave. Then she'd use the kitchen utensil and wait. And after she didn't get pregnant, she tried a fertility doctor, and there was no luck with that either. And then she and Borwein tried a few more times, and in July, she learned that she was going to have a baby. Borwein came by the house with a stuffed bear and clothes for the baby. Things were okay. He thought he was going to be able to see the newborn as often as he wanted. She thought that he could have some involvement, the appeals court decision said, but she would be the sole parent. But he'd like be any other friend, certainly not have formal visitation. And then they argued over what to name the baby. They didn't speak for more than 5 months after that, and the baby was born, and Borwein says he learned about the baby's arrival from somewhere else, out for someone else. And then he went to the hospital and saw the boy and then saw it at her home. And Ms. Joyce Bruce said that their visits were strained, so she told him to stop coming, and that's when he took the matter to court. And Bruce argued that she used non-coital reproductive technology to get pregnant, and Borwein was technically a sperm donor. He argued he always expected to be a dad, going to the kids' games and taking part in making decisions on schools and medical needs, and a court-ordered DNA test proved that he was the biological father. And he was awarded joint legal custody and visitation. So, we've heard this. I've always thought this was a myth. I really, because sperm has to be a certain temperature. And I'm not, Jeff, you're in the medical field.
Yeah.
You know,
it does.
So this is kind of shocking to me that this actually could work. You know?
Yeah, me too. But wow. It's news to me.
And I guess, you know, it's interesting how the court said because it was not medical technology, a kitchen implement does not meet those standards. So that's why this man is the boy's legal father and will get visitation. Very interesting. Fascinating. You never know what's – you can't make this stuff up, Jeff.
Right? That's
going to do it for the news. The wide world of sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
Hunger, it's the hunger.
Money and the biggest hit of his career, Take Me Home Tonight. His fifth top 40 hit, number one mainstream rock hit for two straight weeks, and that was Ronnie Spector singing along with him from the Ronettes, who sings Be My Baby from the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Be My Little Baby. That's, yes, just like Ronnie said, as Eddie says in the song. And she makes her little cameo. Is that not a great song?
Awesome,
or what?
Awesome that, song. Love
wow,
it.
That brings back great memories. And I just like Eddie Money's style. He's just... he's another one of those that, you know...
Died way too young.
Say it again.
He's died way too young.
Eddie Money?
Yeah.
Eddie Money's alive.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, unless you know something I don't.
Yeah. I'm thinking of somebody.
You're thinking of Eddie Rabbit.
Eddie Rabbit. That's who I'm thinking of.
And
okay.
He did die way too
okay.
young. Very, very...
Wow.
Yeah,
awesome song.
Yes, that is awesome. And... that just embodies the 80s to me for some reason. You know, that really brings that back.
Really does.
It's D-Day in Dallas, Jeff. That's all I can just say. I mean, it's just one bad thing just keeps coming. I mean, my jaw has dropped, three times today. To tell you that, just from first thing, Dallas Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy has been suspended for the first 10 games of the 2015 NFL season in the aftermath of his domestic violence case being dismissed. The NFL released a press release regarding the decision, and it said, Greg Hardy of the Dallas Cowboys was notified today that he is suspended without pay for the first 10 games of the 2015 regular season for conduct detrimental to the league in violation of the NFL Constitution and bylaws, the NFL player contract, and the NFL personal conduct policy. In a letter from Commissioner Roger Goodell, Hardy was informed that an extensive two-month NFL investigation following the dismissal of his case in North Carolina State Court determined that there was sufficient credible evidence that Hardy engaged in conduct that violated NFL policies in multiple respects and with aggravating circumstances.
That's terrible news.
It is terrible news, and he does plan to appeal the suspension, according to Mike Garoppolo at Fox Sports. And Ian Rappaport reveals the Cowboys were not expecting the suspension to be this lengthy.
Yeah, that's like over half the season.
Right. He wrote that they expected at most a 6-game suspension for Greg Hardy. They thought it would be 4 games, but 10 is clearly a surprise. And that's huge. And and you know, I'm kind of surprised, because if the courts thought that there wasn't enough evidence to go on with the charges, you know, that, like he was cleared,
right?
And so the NFL decides in their investigation that there was enough there to, so apparently their reasonable doubt is much lower standard than, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have been lighter on him at least.
If anything, yeah. Four games, I could, at the most, I would think. 10 games is outrageous. I'm to be honest. I think that's crazy. If the prosecutor didn't think there was enough evidence to go ahead and, then I don't see where the NFL comes in and plays judge, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, also today in Dallas, it was announced that Chandler Parsons of the Dallas Mavericks will miss the rest of the season, and with injured knee, and you know, it just devastating news for the Mavericks,
yeah,
who are currently down 2-0 to the Houston Rockets. Chandler Parsons did play in game one and scored 10 points and collected 6 rebounds. But, I would say, okay, well, you know, the Mavericks have other players that can make up for that. Today, Rick Carlisle said, after benching Rajon Rondo last night in the loss to the Houston Rockets, he said that he could not see Rajon Rondo back in a Dallas Mavericks uniform ever again.
Wow.
So he was not impressed with his play. He thought that he wasn't giving it all his all. Because in the press conference after the game, I was really shocked at what Coach Carlisle said about this.
Yeah,
and
I didn't notice it being that.
Because he just played in a few seconds in the second half, and apparently things got really ugly and last night, and he is permanently suspended or indefinitely, so to say. So, yeah, a great day if you're a Dallas sports fan, you know.
Yeah, right. Oh man, I still want to beat Houston so bad.
And Houston now leads 2-0. The next game is at Dallas, and I think we'll be there on Friday night, and that's at 6:00. So that'll be very interesting to see if they can turn that around. They do have a deep bench, and there's other people that can come off, but Houston has an outstanding team, just outstanding. So,
exactly.
That'll be interesting. In Cleveland, LeBron James scored 30 points. Kyrie Irving added 26. And the Cleveland Cavaliers finally shook off Boston in the fourth quarter, beating the Celtics 99-91 on Tuesday night to take a 2-0 lead in their opening round series. In Toronto, John Wall had 26 points and 17 assists. Bradley Beal scored 28. And the Wizards took a 2-0 lead in their first round of playoff series. Bradley Beal, excuse me. And late Monday, was the Warriors defeated the Pelicans 97-87, which also gives them a 2-0 lead as well. And Golden State's just very tough. This team, they're amazing. You know,
they really are. Yeah, they're one of the best teams I've seen since I can remember.
I agree. And, I just remember Stephon Curry playing for Davidson back in the March Madness days. And who would have ever dreamed that he would be such a dominant player in the NBA? I just did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, me either. Me either.
Currently underway tonight, the Brooklyn Nets are at Atlanta. That's on NBA TV. On TNT, it's Portland. It's at Memphis. And the late game at 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, is San Antonio Spurs at the LA Clippers. And, of course, the Clippers have a 1-0 lead in that series. In the Atlanta series, they lead 1-0. Cleveland and Boston, like I said, Cleveland has a 2-0 lead. The Chicago Bulls lead Milwaukee 2-0. And Toronto is trailing Washington 2-0. Both those games played in Toronto. So Washington won both the first two games on the road. So now they go to Washington to play with a 2-0 lead.
Wow.
Very surprising.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't – we knew this was a talented team, but they once they hit the playoffs, they really showed exactly what they had, where they wasn't showing it as much in the regular season.
Exactly.
In Atlanta, Mike Budenholzer was right where he didn't want to be, the center of attention. There was no avoiding it, not after leading the Atlanta Hawks to the top of the Eastern Conference. Budenholzer was honored as the NBA Coach of the Year on Tuesday, an award that moved him to tears as he spoke about the people who meant so much to his career, his players, his father, Danny Ferry, and, of course, Greg Popovich. Quote, "Winning this award evokes a lot of emotions," he said, choking up several times. He is clearly uncomfortable in the spotlight, rarely opening up about anything more than the next game. So it didn't sound like polite modesty when he said that he would have preferred for Golden State's Steve Kerr to win the award. So I know a lot of people were surprised at Kevin McHale. He finished 6th in voting, and what he did in Houston, especially at the end of the season for them to get the number 2 seed, because they could have slipped as far as number 6. And Kevin McHale's done a great job with this team, with the Rockets. But the Coach Budenholzer there in Atlanta has been outstanding.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. All right, I know we're running short on time, so I will move on. That's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chat Report.
Feeling broken, barely holding on, but there's still something so strong somewhere inside me. And I am down, but I'll get up again. Don't count me out just yet.
Written especially for her by famed songwriter Diane Warren, who always does a great job. I felt a little bad for Christina Aguilera because she did so many on the Burlesque soundtrack. Cher only does two songs on that soundtrack because she plays her boss in the movie.
Right.
And Christina really, she sang her butt off in that movie.
Right. She did a good job.
She did do a good job, but Cher ended up winning a Golden Globe Award for that song. But she just nailed it. And that's just kind of symbolic of her whole career. You haven't seen the last of me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think. Because she's not known as the comeback queen for nothing, you know?
Exactly.
And outstanding. Good stuff. Okay. With Miranda Lambert, Luke Bryan, and Taylor Swift leading the way, country music helped CBS to a dominant week in the television ratings. The Academy of Country Music Awards show at AT&T Stadium was seen by just under 16 million viewers, making it the most watched program in the Nielsen Company's weekly accounting of popular TV shows. The ACM Awards may have won the week, but finished just behind the yearly Country Music Association Awards, and that show aired during a busier time in November, and it had 16.25 million viewers last year. 14 of the 17 most-watched shows last week aired on CBS, according to Nielsen. No surprise there, Jeff. We'll run these down. At number 10, The Odd Couple, the new Odd Couple. So already a top 10 hit. That's outstanding.
Yeah,
so, wow.
That? Give it a chance.
At number 9, 60 Minutes. Number 8, Criminal Minds, all of CBS. 7, The Voice, Tuesday edition. 6, The Voice, Monday edition, of course, from NBC. 5, Dancing with the Stars from ABC. 4, NCIS New Orleans. 3, The Big Bang Theory. 2, NCIS. And 1, the Academy of Country Music Awards, all of CBS. So, you know, we're in season 7 of the Chat Report, and since we've been doing this, CBS has just dominated the Nielsen ratings.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems like the grip gets tighter. They're just not losing any ground.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
it's being steered by one of probably the best, Les Moonves.
Les Moonves is outstanding, and this is, you know, this CBS was got, you know, had the nickname the Tiffany Network decades ago because they always seemed to get what was the best scripts, and I'd say the best shows because they had so many hit shows back in the, you know, in the beginning, in the infancy,
exactly.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And, you know, they had that one in the 90s. That was their worst decade because it was called the Gray Network all of a sudden because everybody still had shows on there. But other than that, they have always been, they just kill, you know?
Exactly.
Absolutely amazing. Congratulations to Sandra Bullock. Sandra, the 50-year-old actress, is the cover girl for People magazine, and she is named the most beautiful woman in the world, 50-year-old Sandra Bullock. And in this week's People, the Oscar winner, shares what really makes her feel beautiful, and that is being a mother. There's a lot of people, a lot of women that are beautiful. I think Sandra Bullock is a beautiful woman. I don't know that I would call her the most beautiful woman in the world.
Exactly.
Sorry. There's a few other. I mean, there's, yeah.
She's beautiful, but, yeah, that's a stretch, though.
Could she be the most beautiful girl in the world as princess? Yeah, anyway. Jon Stewart says August 6th will be his last night after 16 years of hosting Comedy Central's The Daily Show. Stewart set the date in the closing moments of Monday's edition of the parody newscast. With tongue-in-cheek, he promised to wear a suit for that finale and to shower beforehand. Then he recanted, saying that he would be clad in overalls and skip the shower. So the networks of The Daily Show will then go on hiatus for the rest of the summer. His successor will be South African comedian Trevor Noah, a recent addition to the stable of Daily Show correspondents. No start date for Noah has been announced, but I'm looking very forward to that because this guy is hilarious. If you haven't seen Trevor Noah in action, I suggest looking him up because he's very talented, and I think he will do very well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jeff. Your favorite part of the show.
My
celebrity
favorite.
Birthdays. Actress Amber Heard is 29 today. Actress talk show host Sherry Shepherd. Of course, formerly of The View.
I'm going to say 48.
Boom. Right on the money. Good job. How about comedian Byron Allen?
Ooh, I'm going to say 53.
Plus one, 54. Very good. Movie director John Waters is 69. Actor Jack Nicholson. Jeff?
Ooh, he's up there. I'm going to say 75.
Plus three, 78 for Jack Nicholson. And last but not least, singer Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell, I'm going to say 82.
Minus three, 79. And, you know, Glenn Campbell is not doing well. He's in. He has had Alzheimer's for a while. And if he makes it to his 80th birthday, I think it would be a miracle. But, you know, well, I certainly hope he sees that. And, you know, he certainly has nothing left to prove. He's led a great life. And
absolutely.
But another birthday for Glenn Campbell, 79 years young for Glenn. You can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio production. I also want to thank our guest, Martone, for joining us tonight. And you can go on Facebook and find him. If you go to Facebook, you type in The Real Martone, and that's how you will bring up his page. And also, Martone has a GoFundMe campaign going on as well to because, you know, Jeff, in this business, it takes a lot of money to make videos and to do different things like that. And, you know, every little bit helps. And Martone is, you know, I can vouch for Martone. Anything you get, every penny, he knows how to make every penny count. So wish him definitely the best of luck. And it was great having him on as a guest. Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
And we are going to close the show with his third single from his album, The Evolution of Martone, and it's called This Love. Thanks, everyone.
Okay.